Peter is here with his lovely wife, Karen. So I think I know Karen a little bit better than I know Gunther, because we work together in Stellenbosch. And I know she doesn't like it, but I'm going to give credit to him. Credit is due. She's an admin machine. I remember she had this little, you still have that little Bluetooth thingy sticking out of your ear. She had this thing in her ear. You know, you remember those Bluetooth thingies that you always connected with your cell phone. So she was always in receive and, yeah. So, Karen, welcome. We know that's not your identity. We know that's the, welcome, welcome to you guys. And then Gunther, I know him from Stellenbosch as well. I think you're going to say a little bit more about yourself. But I think what I can remember about Gunther as well is just his humility. I always thought like he's a very quiet guy until you give him a microphone and everything, and then you're like, yes, see, there's a lot of substance, there's a lot of things in here. Something that I just want to mention about them is they really have a heart for the orphans and for the lost. So they've been involved in Live Village in Durban, which is jy moet dit vir ons bietjie beter verduidelik, okay? But it's orphanages with mothers. It's a village where they bring people in, but they try to create a family setup for them. Is this min of meer vinnig on the right track? And then at the moment they're involved in Kin Culture here in the Western Cape, which is orphan-based as well, where they support people who have adopted little ones through networking and getting them together and just checking in with the parents and see if they okay. Who is this all right, man? It's okay. Yes. And you really Mike chicken away. And then the last thing is you saw on the little ad that they started their own ministry, Titus Lifestyle Coaching. And that's discipling. Yeah, that's discipling in areas of life. So kom ons gee vir hom 'n lekker handeklap. Baie welkom en dan gee ek vir jou die mic.
Baie dankie. Good morning. The guys at the back, I've got a bit of a yes stem, so if you can maybe just turn it up a bit for me. Good morning, everyone. Good to be here. Thank you, Rick, Alida, beautiful family. You guys are such a blessing. And thank you for having us here this morning. Just to be here, what a privilege. Driving from Stellenbosch in the rain. Beautiful scenery, the mountains. Just love it. God is faithful, amen. And God is building His church. And I'm very excited to be here with you guys. I haven't been on this side of the Western Cape, well, at Shofar at least for, I don't know how many years, but I remember back in 2003, 2004. So it's been a while, and then again I think it was back in 2010. So it's been a while. So thank you for inviting me. I'm going to actually invite my wife just to share about what we are doing. You're on the right track, Rick, but she does it good. So I'll ask Karen just to share briefly what we do while I sip a glass of water.
Thanks. Morning, everybody. I'm going to hold the mic away because I've got a loud voice. I don't have the earpiece anymore, Rick. So some of you might know me from back in the days. I always did the conferences. I was always the person running around with the radio in my hand. So, but that's not what we do anymore. I think 6-7 years ago, God called us away from normal life and normal jobs. I was working for the church happily. And we had our own business back then. And God kind of called us away and He told us to start a ministry where our focus is more on people that are often forgotten, people that are often not seen. And so God called us to Live Village, which, yes, is a village for orphaned and vulnerable children. We had over 200 children in our care. And it's a village setup, so it's little houses. I don't know if any of you have been there, but it's little houses, and every little house is run by a mom and then up to 6 kids in a house. And what we try and do is create an as normal experience for the foster children as possible. Within a family unit on the village, we had a church, a school, and a clinic. And yeah, so we did that for 5 years, and that was very blessed. We got to learn a lot about the African culture, and it was really lovely for us to be in that environment. And then at the beginning of last year, God told us to come back to the Western Cape and start a ministry specifically for, he actually said, we need to come back to pastors, to mentors, and come alongside leaders and care workers. So yeah, that's what we're doing now. We are here. We're working with Kin Culture and a few other organizations to really come alongside people who are doing the work. Because yeah, for a few years, we also fostered children. We had 15 children come through our home before we were parents ourselves. So that was an interesting experience. But yeah, so we, our ministry and our passion and our love is really just to see people who feel lost, who feel broken, who feel unseen, to really be seen. And that's what Gunther's going to be speaking about this morning.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, she said it, so that's what we do, that's who we are. So thankful to be here. Just greetings from my brothers, well, Heinrich, Titus, and Nikki. They send their love to you guys, and they miss you all, and we are very excited to see some of you at Convergence, hopefully. We're very excited about Convergence and what God is doing. This year, 30 years, what a milestone, what an achievement, God's faithfulness. Ricky shared it this morning. God is faithful, and God sees your faithfulness as well. So I'm going to dig right into the Word. Before we do that, can we pray? All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege, Lord, to gather together today as one. Thank you, Lord, for your love in our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in this place, in this community, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have appointed people to be here for such a time as this. So, Father God, we thank you for breathing on us this morning, the breath of life. Thank you for lifting us up, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit of truth. And I pray, may you guide us and lead us into all truth. We thank you that truth sets us free. We thank you where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom, Lord. So we receive it this morning. We receive everything that you have planned for us for today. In the mighty name of Jesus. And if you believe that, say, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Like Karen shared, our desire is really to come alongside people who are in the field. You know, you can be a mom, you can be a dad, you can be a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, you can be a pastor, you can be someone just, you know, tending the garden or whatever. God is a place for you. And we do believe that sometimes when life happens, it gets tough. You know, and I'm going to share a couple of stories from Scripture and a few characters. You're welcome to take notes, but we've got the slides up there. And when I prayed about this message, I really felt that the Lord wants to encourage you this morning. The Lord is saying, keep on going. You know, keep going because your faithfulness to the Lord is being tested. Your commitment to Christ, to the cause, is being tested. And I've seen that in different spaces, in different congregations. It's almost like the enemy has launched an attack. You know, he wants to rob people from their joy. And the challenge is for us to abandon our posts. You know, run away or press that abort button. When the going gets tough, you know, we want to run away. And that is just what I feel like God wants to do this morning. He wants to remind us of who we are, number one, of who we are, our identity. And number two, remind us of your assignment. Okay, keep going. So, the title of the sermon is Jehovah El Roi. Now, we know there's many names of God. Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, Jehovah Rapha, God our healer, and so on and so on. But Jehovah El Roi, I love this because it speaks into what Rick shared this morning briefly. And during worship, I really picked it up. He's the God who sees us. He's the God who's got his eyes on you, no matter where you are. And so there's a story in the Bible, Genesis chapter 16. He You know, Hagar was Sarah's maid, and obviously before Sarah became Sarah, she was Sarai. Before Abram had his name Abram, it was Abram. So Sarai, she couldn't fall pregnant. She was desperate. You know, and when we are desperate, we do desperate things. Anybody here gets desperate sometimes? When you're desperate and you can't find a way out, you want to do things in the flesh or in the natural. So Sarai was kind of like in that situation. So she said to Abraham, take my maid Hagar and basically sleep with her. I want a child. Okay, so that happened. But let's go to Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. Before I get to that, so there was obviously the situation when Hagar, you know, when she conceived. Instead of Sarah being very happy, she was actually jealous. You know, she prayed for something to happen, but she got jealous. And there was a lot of contention, a lot of striving, you know, and so much so that Hagar had to run away. Hagar had to flee. And so as she fled, along the way, we pick up this account here in verse 13. When the angel of God spoke to her, she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." All right. "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "Here have I also here seen him who sees me." Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar ran away. She fled the situation. And on the way, fleeing, the angel of the Lord met with her. He said to her, "You are with child, you are pregnant, and you'll have a son. Go back to Sarai and serve her." And sometimes I just feel like, you know, when I read that account again, sometimes when we are in a difficult situation, when there's struggle, when there's contention, when there's strife, we run away from that situation to, they say, the grass is greener on the other side, you know, where it's more comfortable, where it's more pleasant. And sometimes God will stop you and say, "Go back, I've got a plan for you." But it's important for us to also remember, when we have an encounter with God, to capture that moment. How many moments do we have when we, maybe at church or at home, you have an encounter with the Lord, there's a moment. You know, what is God saying to you? I love the journal. I love to open up my Bible. I love the journal because I keep account of what God speaks to me. Because years from now, I might need to pick up that journal again. What did God speak to me? And what was my revelation, my understanding of who He is? And that's why we read here, Hagar called that place the God who sees me. That's very significant. Because every encounter you have of God gives you an understanding and a bigger revelation of who He is. Isn't that right? Did He provide for you? He's Jehovah Jireh. Did He heal you? He's Jehovah Rapha. So you have to understand that God desires to make His name known to you. Amen? He desires to reveal His love to you, but also His name. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. And the world is shouting at us and screaming at us, telling us that bow down to this false god or bow down to this false image. And when we are desperate, we want to do that sometimes. When we are desperate, we want to bow down to a false image. And so I love reading the Old Testament because they understood something about God encounters. Whenever there was an encounter of God, they remembered that place. Often they built an altar or a memorial. They wanted to remember what has God done here at this place. And if you know the story of Joshua when they crossed over the Jordan, you know, before they went into the promised land, they said, "Let's first build a memorial." So they grabbed 12 stones and they built a memorial. And scripture says there, so that when our children come past this way again, we can tell them the God that took us to the Red Sea is the God that took us through the Jordan. Do you take time out to build a memorial for God? Do you take time out to capture the moments? It's easy to come into church, microwave style. We actually went through McDonald's this morning because we were running a bit late. Nathan wasn't so well this morning, so we had to make sure he's okay. Our boy Nathan is currently sleeping there. Thank the Lord. You know, little ones get, he's 3 years old. But so we were desperate. So we, yeah, desperate because McDonald's aren't really the first choice of breakfast. So we got some breakfast, some coffee. Microwave style because it's quick, right? But sometimes we want a microwave McDonald's style in our experiences with God. I can just get a quick touch, a quick experience, and then we're out, like a bullet train. But sometimes we don't take the time out to pause and to capture these moments. So I want to encourage us. I believe God is going to do a beautiful thing in this church, in this community. You're going to have God encounters. You know, we have to capture the moment and build a memorial. I'm not saying now, you know, take out bricks and, you know, get everything going outside and build a monument. If God tells you to do that, you can talk to Pastor Rick here. But it could be capturing the moment and draw something. All right? A painting or write a song. Many people that have gone through tough times, when they encounter God, they write a song. And it's not Hill songs. It's not elevation worship. It's your song. And that will carry you, that will sustain you. So that's free. It's not in my notes. All right. Just thought I'd give that to you. Capture the moments and build a memorial. So Hagar went back. God gave her direction. There was clarity. And there was focus. So I'd love just to look at Psalm 139. And I often read this when identity is being attacked. Many of us, we've been called to do something for God, and often the enemy comes to attack our identity. Who do you think you are to do this? You know, and so Psalm 133 is a beautiful portion of scripture. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He's saying, Lord, yes, my heart. It's broken. It's not perfect. It's dear Makar. Lord, put on the spotlight. And these days with the load shedding, happened again this morning and last night, we put on the spotlight, we put on the candle, we put on the light so we can see. Now, we have to get into the spotlight. God is saying, bring me your heart. Lord, here's my heart. Test me. Try me. Come investigate my life. In other words, you have to say to God, I give you permission. Lord, I give you permission to speak to me. I give you permission to investigate my life. But here's the thing. If we are filled with pride, we won't pray that prayer. Pride says, I've got it. I've got this thing worked out. I'll do it my way. I've got 20 years experience in this thing. I'll do it my way. But God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. It's in the book of James. God gives grace to the humble. So what are we saying here? Lord, I know I can't do this in my own strength. Yes, my heart. Come investigate my life. Lord, I want to encounter you. I want to lock eyes with yours. So God sees your hurts. He sees your pain. He sees your broken heart. Didn't Jesus say in Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bring healing to the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And so healing is yours. Amen. There's an anointing to bring healing to you. There's an anointing to set you free. And so we need to just be in that space of surrender, that space of humility and rest. And so often many Christians, you know, especially if we've been in this thing for a long time, we know about church, we've ticked all the boxes, you've done Bible school, you've done the training, you've done a lot. And sometimes a religious heart can rob you from those beautiful, beautiful encounters. So God is saying, just be a child again, be free. Come to me with humility. You know, just enjoy my presence. And so I encourage us to ask God, Lord, investigate my life. Come and search me. Come and know me. That's a good prayer to pray. Amen. That's a good prayer. So this next slide, if you can go there, please. We actually had on the village, we've had a horse ministry as well. Karen can probably share this better than I do because she loves to ride horses. I don't. Horse. I play tennis with my brothers. I go up the mountain and do hiking. Karen rides horses. But on the village, we actually looked at opportunities to get the message across to the orphan and vulnerable. Often children, they are broken. They struggle a lot with identity. So you're talking about a lot of trauma and hurt, abandonment. So we're talking about the spirit of adoption coming into their lives and bringing them that sense of belonging. But the scripture here in Psalms 32 verse 8, God is saying, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? God will guide you with his eye. That's an intimate picture. God wants to guide you with his eye. Now, in that picture right there, that boy, by the way, he also lived with us. His name is Luyanda. And hectic past. So in that exercise, Luyanda represents God. Am I right, Karen? Yeah. And the horse is you or me. Now normally you would take a rope, right, to guide the horse. But there, after a while, we don't have the rope tied onto the horse. He just walks and connects with his eye, and the horse follows without the rope because he can see where Luyanda is going. And so God is saying, connect with me, be intimate with me in prayer, in worship, because I can give one look to my boy Nathan, he'll have an idea what I'm trying to say. Or my wife can give a look at me with the big eyes, and I know what she's feeling at the moment. I'm probably in a dog box or something. Doesn't happen that often. But so God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. If you are confused about your life, if you're in a place of confusion, that came up. Rick, you mentioned that as well. I also sense that God wants to give you direction. Amen. He wants to give you purpose. But don't run away from him. Run to him. The world at the moment is screaming at us, come and do this, escape into this. I heard years ago, someone said, when your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, when your soul is out of peace, the flesh will offer a solution. If you are upset, if you're troubled, if you're anxious, if you're bitter, you're depressed, your flesh will shout at you, come and do this thing, escape into this thing. And it might last for a little bit, you know, that comfort, but we all know that it leads to death. It leads to more confusion. So the world is screaming at us and, you know, to believers, come and try this. It can be alcohol, it can be drugs, sex, it can be whatever, escaping from that thing. So we need to be mindful of that. God is saying, I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will lead you out. If you keep your eyes fixed on mine. It's a place of intimacy, trust and obey. And very importantly, trust the process. Okay? It's not a quick fix. And that's where we sometimes miss it. We want to press that abort button. I can't deal. I can't do this. We want to run away. But we must trust the process. Trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you in the way you should go. Again, it's not McDonald's-style instant meal. This is waiting upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Many of us are weak because of the pressure the enemy puts on you. You're feeling weak and tired because you've tried things the world's way. In your own way, in your own strength. And God is saying, look into my eyes. You'll find purpose. Amen. Now the second character is Jabez. Who knows about Jabez? All right, Jabez, a guy, his mother had such pain in childbirth. Karen, actually, I watched this process. Thank the Lord that, yeah, I don't have to give birth to a baby. I'm not bold that way. Yeah, thank you. So my wife, how many hours? 36 hours in labor. It was a home birth, a water birth, and fired up, prayed up, I went in there, Sharabakarabar, you know, I'm full of faith until I saw the agony and the pain. Well, I almost felt like I'm going to lose my wife. It was that intense. And so I get it why Jabez's mom maybe called him Jabez, because it was such a painful experience. So Jabez grew up with that title, that label. I've been birthed into this world through pain, and I'm causing pain. Imagine that all your life. Now he goes at school. You know, they mock you and they label you. And that's what we've seen on the village, especially working with the orphan and vulnerable. They don't have an identity. Then they're in this place, then they're in that place, you know, they go through the system. So they don't know who they are. And so we had to speak destiny and identity. But Jabez, something stood up on the inside. He prayed this powerful prayer, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. I'm going to read verse 10. He was the one who prayed to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." It's a good prayer. And God granted him his request. All right, so he recognized that this curse, this issue was keeping him from God's best. This thing that people placed on him, this label, was keeping him in bondage. He couldn't reach his full potential. And we had this exercise on the village. We had this place called Abba's Lounge, which means Abba, which means Father's House for the children. And we had the sword, not a real sword. We didn't cut off the heads, but the toy sword. And we plucked these labels on them as an exercise. Not good enough, rejected, pain, fear, abandoned, ugly, disappointment, all these labels. And we gave them the word of God, took the sword, and we cut off the labels through the power of the word and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe many of God's people are sitting with labels today. Could be because you were abandoned, you were an orphan. It could be you had such great expectation from Christians, and they labeled you. And that formed an image of who you are. But God says that's a lie. I want to remove those labels this morning. So be bold and pray the prayer. Lord, bless me. Lord, take this away from me. And sometimes we have to be desperate. Now, I remember the story of, was it Jacob who wrestled with God? You know, he's like, God, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm not leaving this place until I walk away with a blessing. And so we have to keep knocking. Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Be desperate for Him. Be desperate for truth. And so I want to encourage us. This is going to be a time of great testing for the church. We sing it all over the world. Many people are walking away from the faith. People that I've known for years are walking away from the faith because of compromise, deception. It's sad, but Jesus said it. It's the age of the great falling away, the apostasy. So there's going to be a time of great testing coming, like refiner's fire. The test was on the inside of us. We have become desperate. Do not let the curse and somebody else's words hold you back. Because Satan wants you to think that you are a piece of dirt. You're not. Okay? You're more than a conqueror. So, I love the third person character, Gideon. Gideon, this guy, he was so discouraged. You know, the Midianites came. Every harvest time, they stole their crop, their belongings. Imagine being a farmer. You know, you work. We also work on the farms, by the way. I'm not a farmer. But we work with the farm workers, and we support them. We do coaching and counseling, and we do therapy and so on. And we believe in rebuilding families. But Gideon, you know, he was perplexed. He was frustrated because the Midianites would come in and destroy. You know, they would come in and take their crop and what they've worked for so long. So he was just outside there working. And I'm going to actually look at that screen. I don't have it there. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Verse 14, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Rise up, you mighty man of valor.'" I'm sure when Gideon heard that, he was like, talking about the guy behind me, he's talking about me. I don't feel mighty at all. I don't feel like a warrior at all. And that's what happens. We play in the dirt for too long, and we are surrounded by the voices of the enemy. We tend to believe that. That's who we are. We've lost our passion. And we say things like this: "I'm the least in my family. Lord, pick someone else. Lord, who am I?" But you know what? When God speaks a word, He calls those things that be not as though they were. He already sees in the future. Rise up, you mighty man, you mighty woman. Rise up and defeat and conquer the land. And if we read on in that story, you know, he actually had an encounter with the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and he called that place, "The Lord is peace." You read the whole chapter there. And you also spoke about that this morning. You could have preached the sermon this morning. It's like, I'm going to throw these notes away. But Gideon actually, you know, he had an encounter again. He had an encounter and he remembered that place. The Lord is peace. Because they didn't have peace. Because of the Midianites. Kept on attacking them and robbing from them. But again, if you know the name of your God, there's no stopping you. There's no stopping it because you've got something to live from, a place of conviction. And this is what encouraged me a lot from the story, because God saw him. God saw the condition of his heart. God saw his frustration, that he feels weak. He doesn't feel like he's a warrior at all. But God said to him, "You rise up. I've got a job for you." So much so, he destroyed the gods, the afgoden, the afgebrand, the false images. He burned them down. Because when God gives you a word, you have to advance. Amen. When God gives you an assignment, you have to advance, you have to break ground. Because the enemy is trying to intimidate us. He's trying to intimidate you. Maybe God has given you a dream. Years ago, God has given you an assignment. And you've become weary because of the enemy's lies. Maybe you've experienced attacks on your life. And you feel like it's not worth fighting anymore. Because every time I'm trying to fight, the enemy wins. It could be in your marriage, could be in your finances, could be in your health. You have to rise up and destroy those false images. What are the strongholds in your business, in your family, in this community? You have to ask God and be vigilant and be like a warrior. Be like William Wallace in Braveheart. Those of us who are old enough to remember that. So, what's the latest? Marvel, Captain America, I don't know, these guys. Go out there and destroy with the word God has given you and speak life, speak truth. That's why we often walk around buildings and, you know, we do prayer marching because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of darkness. Because spiritual forces of darkness, they're trying to silence you. They're trying to intimidate you. And you find yourself like Gideon, scuttling, wrestling. You know, rise up. Fight the good fight of faith. Do not fear, for God is with you. God is not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So with this encounter, God's going to give you an assignment. These things keep on moving. It's not the Holy Spirit, right? God's going to give you an assignment. And he says, he will tell you, go and defeat the giants in the land. We realized this when we came back to Cape Town. It's going to be easy. It wasn't. We had to face some giants. We had to hold on to the word God has given us. Because only the word of God will keep you going. The word of God will sustain you. Not what someone else has said, but God has spoken to you directly. That word will sustain you. I'm going to actually mention this now. You know, Psalm 91 verse 1. If you go to the last slide or the second to last slide. Yeah, Psalm 91 verse 1 to 2. Dwelling in the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Number one, the person who dwells in the secret place, not the person who visits, not the person who pops in and pops out. The person who dwells in the secret place will encounter Him. The person who It's a lifestyle to him or her to be in God's presence, to read the word, to worship. Dwellers experience the goodness of God, the favor of God. Dwellers in the secret place receive impartation and revelation. Because often what happens, we pop in and we pop out. I'll put on this podcast. I'll put on this sermon. Nothing wrong with that in itself. But a second-hand revelation won't sustain you. Someone else's revelation or encounter with God can inspire you. But when the rubber meets the road, when trials and tribulation come, their revelation will not sustain you. That's why many people want to bail out. I can't do this. It's too tough for me. But when you become a dweller in the secret place, you get up with conviction. I know who God is. I am fully convinced. Paul used that language. I'm fully persuaded. Abraham also said it. I'm fully convinced of what God has promised is faithful to do. So be a dweller in the secret place. Don't rush in, rush out. Because Jehovah El Roi wants to meet with you. He wants to bless you. All right. So we can go back to the previous slides, please. To Zacchaeus. Thank you. So Zacchaeus klimi boom, you know that story? Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I was preparing a message for farming communities and got up early in the morning to pray, and this word dropped in my spirit about Zacchaeus. I was like, I don't know if that's the right word for this week. And my dad called me. He said, I need you to pick some apples. My dad's got a big apple tree in his garden. And he's a bit older now, so I actually encourage him, whenever you need someone to pick apples, call my number, because I don't want you to climb on top of the roof and climb on the ladder and everything. So I'm happy to do that. So now I'm up on in the street picking apples, and the neighbor says, Zacchaeus, come up from the boom. Is that you, Lord? Like, seriously, I was like, am I hearing God's audible voice right now? Was my neighbor, my dad's neighbor, Zacchaeus, climb down the tree. I just smiled at her because I knew it was a confirmation to share that word that week. I love the story. One of my favorite stories growing up as a boy. So Zacchaeus was desperate to see Jesus. He was a short guy, you know, he couldn't really see. Imagine Jesus coming through Worcester and you're a little light, you can't really see him. You're going to be desperate, right, to climb top of the roof or in the tree to see him. Because Jesus, the Savior, the miracle worker, he's in town. So let's read here Luke 9, 19, verse 2 to 6. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your house today. Zacchaeus climbed down and took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. I don't know about you, but I'll be excited as well when Jesus says, come down, I want to be a guest in your house. Maybe the ladies would be, but I'm not sure if it's ready, you know, if I've got enough food in the house, if the chicken is maybe, you know, good enough for Jesus. But Jesus says, come down, I want to be with you today. He got more than what he bargained for. He got more than what he thought he would get. He thought, maybe I'll just see him. But Jesus came to him and says, I'm seeing you. Not only in the tree, but I want to see you in your house. I want to see you in your own space. He's an intimate God. And I love this about Jesus. He wants to be with you. He's the great shepherd, right? He prepares a table for us. Revelation, you read, he stands at the door knocking and saying, open up. If you open up, I will come in and dine with you. If you open the door, I will come in and share a meal with you. And that's the nature of the Lord. You know, he wants to be with us. That song that says, God in the distance, he's watching us. I don't know. Is God Emmanuel, God with us? Amen. For the people outside in the world who don't know him, he might be God who's far away, but he's God Emmanuel, God with us. So that's his nature. He wants to be with you. So Jehovah El-Roi is saying, come down from that place of desperation. I'm right here. Let's talk about this. Now, that's what David actually did. He said, Lord, come investigate my life. Come and search me. So that's the story of Zacchaeus that I felt just to share with us this morning. Because Zacchaeus, you know, he had issues. He had, you know, he had a label, he had a reputation, and Jesus said, salvation has come to your house. Salvation has come to your house. And Zacchaeus, you read the story, you know, he gave money to the poor, he paid back and he had a mission. So you can have a bad reputation, but when you encounter Jesus, your reputation changes. Your direction changes. Your focus changes. When you encounter Jehovah El Roi, something powerful and beautiful happens. Amen. And as I prayed, actually last night, I just got the scripture to give to Shofar Wooster, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. It says here, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." And that's when he said about faithfulness this morning, Rick, I really got excited because I believe it's God's word for you today. Remain loyal. Remain faithful. No matter the pressure. And many of God's people are facing pressure today. Okay. You're facing pressure because of sickness, because of finances. The enemy is trying to talk it out of your purpose. He's trying to tell you, do things this way. God is saying, do not depend on people. Do not rely on the arm of the flesh. And that's the challenge. When we're facing a difficulty in our church, in our community, at school, with our children, it's easy to go with the flow. Isn't that right? Because it's the path of least resistance. And God showed me this picture of, you know, Jesus said this, in this life you will have tribulation. In this life you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. And sadly, we come to Christ with this false expectation that everything will be hunky-dory, everything will be okay, smooth sailing. And then when we hit tribulation, we panic. But Jesus said, we will have trouble. But be encouraged. Rejoice, I have already overcome the world. And that's the promise. So stay loyal, stay faithful. God says, I want to show myself strong to those people whose hearts are loyal towards me. Be faithful. Like I said earlier, many Christians, they walk away from the faith because things are getting tough. Now, Paul said this. He said, we are hard-pressed on every side. It's happening all over us, but we are not crushed. We're hard-pressed on every side. We're struck down, but we're not abandoned. So, the pressure comes to test our loyalty. So these days when we face pressure and trials, I see it as an opportunity for my heart to be loyal to the Lord. And there will be resistance from the world. And the temptation is to go with the flow. So imagine a fish swimming upstream, right? That's pressure. God says, Ephesians chapter 6, resist the devil. James as well, James says it, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does it mean to resist? You apply pressure on the lies. You apply pressure to that worldly system. You apply pressure to deception. When they say to you, just do this. So this thing, it's not going to cost you much, but a little compromise will cost you a lot in the future. So this may be a hard word for some of us, but you've been tempted a lot lately to compromise. Don't compromise. If you have, there's forgiveness for you. But God sees you. He sees your pain. Maybe somebody here, perhaps you've had an abortion years ago. Who knows? And you're feeling so guilty. How could I have done that? God says he sees your pain. I forgive you. Give it to me. Maybe sitting here, you're struggling with addictions of all sorts. Because life is tough. I'm working with people every week who are addicted to lots of things because life is tough. They want to escape. God sees that. God sees your pain. He sees your desperation. He is Jehovah El Roy. If you encounter Him, He will speak a word of truth to you. And that word of truth will lift you out of that mess. But do not be someone who pops in and pops out. Do not be a visitor, be a dweller. Notice in verse 2 of that Psalm 91, it says that I will say of the Lord, not Pastor so and so, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my God, in Him I will trust. I will say, my God. That is revelation and conviction. Once you have that, you become unstoppable. You become immovable, unshakable. And God says to you, I will put my seed in your heart. That seed of promise. But you must draw it out in prayer. Stir up the gift. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift on the inside. Stir it up. So, and then lastly, many of you have been weak, weakened by sin, weakened by depression and anxiety, especially now after COVID and still getting out of it. Many people are depressed and anxious. Actually, in Convergence, one of the big speakers will be talking about mental health. It's not a big topic in the church circles because we just say, we ask someone, how are you doing today, my brother? I'm blessed by the best. Thank you. True story. I'm blessed by the best. I meant to that, but how are you really doing? How are you really doing? Let's talk about this. So talk to God about your problem. Maybe because of COVID, you've lost your business. You've lost a loved one. You're going through a tough time financially. Yes, talk to Jehovah El Roy. He sees you. But talk to someone, your pastor, your friend. Talk to someone, because we're on a journey here of restoration, being restored. Amen. So I want to encourage those of you who feel that you've been weakened, you've been burdened by life, hard-pressed on every side. You feel like you want to walk away from God. I'm going to pray for you this morning. If you are here and you feel like you can't believe in the dream God has given you, I want to pray for you as well. Maybe God has given you a dream years ago about starting something. Maybe an orphanage. Maybe, I don't know, a ministry where God has laid on your heart, a business. You're thinking, but how is this possible? You've been hard-pressed. God is saying, rise up, you mighty man of valor, you mighty woman, rise up. Romans 4, I'll close with this, says, you know, with Abraham, you know, he was very old when God said, I'll give you a son. Remember that story? And Bible says there, he considered not his own body being dead, neither Sarah's womb, barrenness, also dead. Uses the word twice in the New King James Version. Sarah's situation looks dead. His situation looks dead. There's no hope for life but God. And he says there, he did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, knowing that what God has promised, he's faithful to fulfill. Amen? Don't waver. Waver means to be here and there. You're not sure, you're confused. There's compromise. And maybe your situation looks dead, like their situation was dead. We tried to get pregnant for a couple of years. But I told Rick the other day when we met, people our age, their kids are in high school already. But we've got a three-year-old because we waited 7 years for him. We thought it would not be possible. And your friends, you know, they get children, they get their promises. And like, what's wrong with us? But God said, go and serve the village in Durban and work with the orphan and vulnerable. We've done it faithfully. We looked after other people's children faithfully. And the miracle happened. And just the other day, when I was receiving bad news, and the enemy was coming against my faith, he told me something like this: this can't be done. You won't get out of this. That very week, I had, you know, on Google Photos, you get those memories. I had this memory of the solar scan when we found out Nathan's gender. And I watched that video with tears in my eyes, recalling God's faithfulness. And I took my phone, and I said to Satan, "You see this? You said it can't be done. Look at this. Here's the solar scan, and there's my son. Don't tell me it can't be done." That's the attitude of faith God wants us to have. When enemy tells you you will not get out of the situation, you will never break free from this addiction, or you will never get this breakthrough, recall God's faithfulness. Recall, bring to memory the miracles. If you have a picture of it, if you wrote it down, if you have a song, tell the enemy, "Look here, you coward. You said it can't be done. Look at this. Look at God's faithfulness." Because conviction will carry you through. Amen? Receive that today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your amazing love and amazing grace. Father, we can say today, once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was filled with doubt, but now I'm filled with faith. Once, like Jabez, I had this tag, this label over me, hanging over me, that I'm causing pain and I'm a nobody. But because of my understanding of Jehovah El Roi, I can say I'm somebody. Father, I thank you for each and everyone here this morning, that you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. I pray for those who are feeling weak, who are feeling depressed, anxious. Holy Spirit, I pray you will hover over them right now. And I speak against every lie of the enemy in Jesus' name. I come against every plan of the enemy to weigh them down with the lies of this world. Father, we know that you speak truth this morning. You speak identity this morning. That you have released a word that will lift people up. So, Father, I thank you for life and life in abundance. Those of you who have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior, now is the day of salvation. Maybe you have and you've drifted because of the pressure. You've walked away. Now is your time of salvation. Now is your time to come back to Him. Because in His house, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. If that's you, I want you just to be honest and say, "That's me." We want to pray for you. You are at a good church here where you can get discipled, where you can get fed. If that's you, come and see us afterwards. We want to pray for you. If you're sitting here today and God has given you a dream and you've lost hope, you've lost heart, I believe God wants to resurrect what's dead. And you've believed the lie of the enemy, like Gideon. Who am I and my family to do this? God is saying, "I've exactly appointed you to fulfill this mission." And you've given up. You've doubted the call of God. God says, "I've chosen you, not the other one, not so and so. I've called you." And if you're that person, we want to pray for you as well this morning. Can I just see by a raise of hand, who is feeling that God wants to resurrect dead dreams? God wants to resurrect dead dreams. Thank you. There's no shame in that. God wants to speak a word of truth to resurrect dead dreams. Father, I thank you right now. We can just speak truth, Lord. We cancel every lie. Satan, I take authority over here right now in Jesus' name. You've lied to God's people long enough. Father, I pray for eyes to open up in Jesus' name to see. I pray for ears to open up to hear and hearts to be responsive to your voice. Lord, I thank you for resurrection power this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you for a lifting of the Spirit right now. Lord, like Gideon, rise up, mighty man, mighty woman of valor. Father God, thank you for vision and clarity and direction to break down the altars and the giants in this land, the strongholds in this community, Lord. The lust, the violence, the shame. Lord, we thank you for people that are equipped to break these things down in Jesus' name. Father, those who have abandoned their posts, their assignments because of fear, I speak strength into them right now in Jesus' name. God is not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Go in the strength of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Gunther. I just strongly feel as well, if you're sitting here today and you cannot say, it is well with my soul. There's some soul storms in your life. Then as the other people go for coffee and fellowship, please come to the front. I think many times we receive a word like this, but we need to cement it in some prayer as well, and we'd love to pray for you. So don't walk away and say, I'm going to deal with it on my own. There's a moment now. There's an opportunity now here in God's presence with God's people. So please respond to that and then come to the front. And so thank you for this word. We've been talking about just being authentic every now and again. And I was sitting here and I was thinking, he's not screaming. He's so quiet and calm. It's just a word of God that we're going through, and it is so powerful. So, so, so powerful. So blessed. So, Gunther, thank you for that word. And church, thank you that you've come to the house of the Lord. You've come to the gathering. May you be blessed. May the Lord keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may His eye guide you. Go well. God bless you. So if you want to respond to the prayer, please come to the front as well now. Thank you.